Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In a college football playoff, especially against Georgia in defensive minds like Kirby Smart. There's a fumble picked up by Dalen Everett. Touchdown, Georgia.
So, John, at this point in the game, how were you feeling?
At that point, I was getting sleepy, and I was like, well, you know, maybe I can fall asleep in a little bit.
So Georgia forces the fumble. They scoop and score 46 yards, 21-12 at the time, late in the second quarter. And it had felt like a pretty close game, Ole Miss and Georgia. And, you know, we'd already learned that having the bye week didn't necessarily make you lose Indiana.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, that was the most boring game ever. Alabama just got the beat down. But so did Texas Tech from Oregon.
Right.
Texas Tech had one play longer than 20 yards?
Yes.
And then, you know, Oregon had, four takeaways? I think three interceptions and a fumble recovery and just completely demolished Texas Tech. And to be fair, Indiana completely demolished Alabama. I mean, I didn't even pull cuts. It wasn't even worth it. I'm like, these games are total boring. And then the Ole Miss game.
Right, the one at night.
The one at night, right, exactly. So Georgia goes up by 9 at this point, but of course, you know, that's a lot of ball game to play. Third quarter.
This Alexander, the motion man.
5 minutes to go. Lacy Ole Miss with the ball.
Has the corner and a touchdown!
And now you're feeling a little bit better because you're within two, right, John? Walk me through the emotions as an Ole Miss fan. You're feeling better.
Yeah, I started to wake up a little because I was dozing off.
Fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go with the ball again.
He's rising to the occasion so far. Winner to the semifinal to take on Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. Kewon Lacy lunges for the goal line. Touchdown!
And you get the lead. They go for two. They get up three, 27-24 with fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go. That was the first lead in a long time for Ole Miss. That was the, oh my God, it's a game again, right?
Yeah.
For real, it's a game again. So guess what? Obviously, you keep on playing, okay? A couple plays later, 9 minutes to go. Ole Miss with the ball.
Or will Kirby Smart have them snap it on fourth and two?
Georgia with the ball on fourth and three.
Stockton is out there. They do snap it. And he's under pressure! And sacked! And the ball has come out!
And Georgia Ole Miss recovers. So Ole Miss gets the ball, takeover on fourth down. This was after the sequence in which Georgia went for the fake punt. Fourth down and long made it. Fourth down and short made it. I mean, there was a lot of fourth down plays in this game. So first and down, Ole Miss got the ball. What do they do?
Gets them another first down, a gain of 10. Pete Golding's team was ready for it. Do you like the decision by Kirby to do that?
I don't. Not with the defense.
No, it was dumb in his own end with a lot of time to go.
Yeah, it
was a weird decision.
I don't know what he was thinking.
12 consecutive completions for Chambliss. Going for 13. He has it. And another touchdown.
Up by 10.
Harrison Wallace having the night of his life.
Trinidad Chambliss is pretty spectacular. I mean, he's fun to watch. And he was, the second stringer brought on as a backup maybe guy?
Yep.
I love those stories.
Was.
Those are great. So, but this, if you're a football fan, man, this is if you went to bed early and you missed it, or if you just want to relive it a little bit. So up by 10, but again, it's Georgia. They don't quit. 7 minutes to go.
Pressure up the middle. Picked up. Stocked into the end zone. And it is.
Did he catch it?
Caught for a touchdown.
Zachariah Branch snags it, so they're down just by three
at this
point.
That was a quick drive.
That was a very quick. I mean, very productive. Yeah. Very, very effective. So, so at this point, they're down by three. All right. So, Georgia gets the ball back again, and they drive, and you're thinking, oh, my God, they're going to go ahead with a touchdown. They do not. They have to kick a field goal from 18 yards.
Pressure up the middle. Picked up. Stocked.
Oh, excuse me. This is wrong cut. Excuse me. My fault. I get excited about myself over here. So this is the one. 47-yard try.
From 24 yards, he's made 36 of his last 40. He's the most accurate kicker in school history by a mile, and that one is dead center.
Tie game, 56 seconds to go. And I will be honest, I was watching this morning.
Right.
Not because I had to go to bed last night, but because we decided to watch other things. I got told I'd watch enough football for the day, which is very hard for take. But
you watched enough football for today?
Yeah.
That's
and,
what she
and
said.
And so we were watching TV instead, you know, because, you know, put your marriage over your football.
Don't you have like an iPad or another TV?
Oh, God, I would not do that.
Or another TV?
No. So I got up this morning with plenty of time, I thought, and I started thinking, oh, my God, it's going to be overtime. I'm not going to get this game watched in before I get to work. So, okay. So, 56 seconds left to go. Guess what? Ole Miss, they drive down to the 47 for a 47-yard try, and
47 yards. And it is good!
From Carnero.
Right down the middle!
There you go. And these kickers are fantastic. These are NFL kickers.
Yeah.
Both of them.
For
really
sure.
Really fantastic. And then you have, you know, kind of there's 6 seconds left to go, and Georgia takes the reception. They try a weird lateral. It hits the pylon, bouncing out of control.
Oh,
they get a safety.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, and then they call it. Everybody floods the field, and they have to put back a second or two on the clock.
One second.
And then it was just weird at the end. It was just very weird at the end. A little bit anticlimactic right at the end, but congratulations, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Powder blue advances.
It does.
You proud of that powder blue?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm wearing it today.
All right. I did in solidarity with you. I wore a powder blue Cardinals throwback hat.
We got you halfway.
I wore the same colors.
I know.
Solidarity. And, you know, for all my Georgia fans, look, I didn't care who won this game. I just wanted it to be a good game. Good game.
It was.
Because Meg is a big Georgia fan, and we got a lot of Georgia fans. You know what? This is the one place, I just say this, it's embarrassing for me, but I have to admit it. The only place I know of in my life where I'm a little tiny bit of a socialist is in sports.
Explain.
I know how good it feels when your team wins. And I know how it's not nearly as satisfying when you've recently had one or two big successes,
mm-hmm.
and then you get another one. And so I want every fan base to have theirs. And so I want Ole Miss to have theirs. I want Indiana to have theirs. I want, you know, when a team like Alabama, yeah, I mean, for other reasons, as an Auburn fan, I don't want them to win. But, you know, Ohio State, same thing as growing up in the Big Ten, but never in Ohio. But like Georgia, I mean, they've had theirs. Ole Miss.
Since 1962.
Yeah, and I want you to get yours. So it's not that I want to cause it to be redistributed like socialism is forced redistribution, but I am a little bit of a, it's the next person's turn. You know, I want every fan base to get theirs. I loved beating the Rangers when the Cardinals beat the Rangers. Ooh. That was an amazing series. But I wanted the Rangers to get theirs later, differently.
Yeah, not against the Cardinals.
That's exactly right. Fourth, so you feel good?
Yeah. I am exhausted.
Of course, next you got to play Oregon is next. No, who's next
Miami.
For you? Miami. Okay. Well, you look, I'm an Oregon fan. I have to assume Oregon is going to get their brains beaten by Indiana.
Really?
Oh, Indiana is ridiculously good this year. Did you watch that game?
Oh, I watched every second of it.
There was nothing
nobody
Alabama could
stop.
Do.
Yeah.
Nothing they could do. And so, yeah, which is a weird thing to say, Indiana. Dominant Indiana football team. Like, that's never been true. Not
no.
ever.
No.
So here they are.
But you know what? I liked what the commentators said about Indiana is they said these were a bunch of misfits.
Yeah.
Put together.
Right.
And I was like, oh.
And then they apologize for that comment. They're like, well, we don't mean misfits. We mean, you know, they're good players, but they're not the stars.
Yeah, but they came together and became those stars.
You mean it's a team sport?
Yeah, for
weird,
some odd reason.
Right? No, it is, you know, it is, though it's football, it is a bit the Hoosier story.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's the great coach, great teammates, you know, that kind of thing. And,
right.
You're going to hate to have me say it, but even though I want the Ducks, because I'm a fan of Oregon, I do want the Hoosiers to win it all. Sorry, John.
Easy.
Because that's a great story. It is.
How many spare tires you got in your car? I mean, I'm just curious right now because I didn't want you to be able to get home.
In any case, I was prepared to be very upset that we get three blowouts, and the third game was very satisfying. Even if Georgia had won, it would have been satisfying just because it was a good game, and I always want good games. All right, 519 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, I almost hated to spring that one on that bonehead. Hey, I made a funny.
In December, drinking hot chata, I'd look psychotic in a balaclava. Winter's cold is too.
I've recently kind of fallen in love with this band. Have you heard of it? I think we talked about them before. Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
A-Punk. Yeah. I played a couple of songs for you the other day. They're like AJR, you know, the band that does Bang. It's like if AJR was like a Paul Simon cover band. They kind of have a lot of Paul Simon sounds in their music. I really like them anyway. They've been around for a while. I mean, their first album was like 2007. But, you know, sometimes you discover a thing later in life. That's okay. 522 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
President Trump says he sometimes relies on his good genetics instead of his doctor's advice. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Trump says he takes more aspirin than his doctors recommend because he's been taking it for 25 years. The interview also says that Trump's friends, aides, and donors are claiming he strains to hear, which Trump denies.
Oh, you missed the headline, though.
The headline is what?
He doesn't like to exercise.
Well, yeah.
He says exercise is boring. Because there's, you know, no mental interest in it. He doesn't want to sit there and walk on a treadmill for hours and hours. He goes golfing.
Right.
And I have never agreed with Trump about anything more in my entire life until he said, exercise is boring. That's why I don't do it.
Well, I agree too.
Give me points, a ball, a game, score, something, strategy. Don't just make me, you know.
Walking on a treadmill to me is boring.
Oh my God, it's so boring.
Oh yeah. Well, in other news, the president of Switzerland says the country is going to hold 5 days of mourning after about 40 people were killed and over 100 injured in that fire at the Alpine ski resort, which broke out on Thursday at 1:30 a.m. their local time. Well, Washington, D.C.'s Department of Motor Vehicles has released a list of license plate requests that it rejected. Political commentary, of course, fueled the decisions made by the government of government efficiency and its former leader, led to the most rejections, including THX Doge, which means thanks, Doge, Elon No, and Hate Elon. The DMV also rejected some others, like plate reading DEI and Palm. I don't know why Psalm 35 would be, and also BS Ball. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. 524 on News Radio 92.3. Did you see the story about, you know, you were giving me a hard time yesterday about not cooking black-eyed peas?
Right.
And, you know, greens and cornbread and having not been from the South, although I'm here now and I try to fit in, you know.
You try, but I'm like...
You know, it is funny because I'll do Cinco de Mayo. I'll do, you know, obviously for me, St. Patrick's Day is a no-brainer because I am actually Irish. I try to do all the – shut up. I'll do, you know, Juneteenth. If there's special food, especially if there's special food and alcohol, I'm in. You know, just tell me what to buy and how to cook it. This is the first year that I've ever really thought about New Year's Day as the big special thing. Cause I was thinking like maybe Mardi Gras, sort of the Southern special thing or whatever. But you know, you made me feel a little bit guilty yesterday that I did not do, you know, black eyed peas.
Well, you
and
should
stuff
feel
like.
Guilty.
That's fine. But I don't feel as guilty as Cracker Barrel.
Uh-oh. What? No, I haven't seen that.
They just can't get out of their own way. For years and years and years and years, Cracker Barrel has done
Black Eyed Peas
for New Year's Day for Southerners who want to go to somewhere that's making it for them, or they're traveling and they can't get to their home, their grandma's house, their restaurants or whatever. So they've long had the New Year's Day menu option of Black Eyed Peas. You know what they had yesterday?
Duh.
Well, not that. No special menu at all.
Ooh. Ooh.
So now you've got an expectation and people show up.
Right.
No, we're not. Making that today.
I'd have turned around and went back out.
Well, so, I mean, these people's whole year is ruined now.
It is.
Because they
maybe I'll win the lotto then.
They didn't get the, what is it? It's the black eyed peas is for health and the cabbage is for money and the cornbread is for just lent general luck. No. I remember the cornbread is for gold because of the color. So it must be the black eyed peas are for like general luck. So luck, money, and health, whatever. Anyway, they're getting all the bad stuff this year. So that's not good. I don't actually believe in that slice of it, but
what?
Well, I'm not saying it's not true.
Okay.
I said, as a Northerner, I just haven't been raised right enough to believe in it.
Okay, that's better.
Better?
I like that.
I said like that.
Yeah,
right.
I really like that.
4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Oh my goodness. Oh, the Navy, speaking of health-ish, I mean, we're talking about Trump. The Navy recently changed their fitness requirements to where now you have to – I think it used to be this way, and they've now gone back to a twice-a-year physical testing to make sure that, you know, sailors are actually really fit to the degree that they want their members to be. So, you know. This is all part of the whole, you know, everybody needs to be fit, every soldier, sailor, everybody needs to be able to do it. They used to do 2 tests per year. They stopped in 2020 with the pandemic. And in 2021, they switched its policy to 1 per year. This confirms that some of the changes that had kind of been announced earlier this month that are now actually going back in. So you get 1 test between January and June and 1 test between July and the end of the year. So you do one on like January 30th and then you do another one.
No. I was thinking more like June and then get the next one over in July because
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still, you know, yeah. we're just doing what we're doing. The Navy did also revise its body composition assessment to be sex neutral. So there are not special standards for men and women. It's now just a height to weight ratio and body composition calculation. Sailors not within standards of that assessment can pass a physical fitness assessment so long as they score outstanding low overall, with an excellent medium or higher in all 3 of the physical readiness tests. I'm sure people in the service know what that means. Those words are all gibberish to me. According to the fact sheet, sailors who recently were pregnant are granted a grace period. They have a 12-month deferment after which they'll be required to participate in the next physical assessment period. So there's a concession for sailors who've just given birth, which is, yeah, I mean, that makes sense too. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. What else do we have going on? I don't have time to get into all of that or that. Oh, the SNAP benefit stuff. I mean, this is New Year, so you got new regulations. Remember we were talking about, the discussion in Florida about changing the things you can use SNAP for and how nationally several states, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, Utah, and West Virginia are all implementing, you know, basically, they've got programs that now restrict the use of SNAP benefits, what you might call food stamps, okay, benefits, so that you cannot buy soda, candy, and other unhealthy food items, which I have said makes all the sense in the world. I find it completely baffling that people find this even controversial. You can't use it for alcohol. You can't use it for cigarettes. You shouldn't be able to use it for ridiculous food. But the argument is that makes you more sick, so you have to pay for the food on the front, and then you have to pay to treat the illnesses caused by the unhealthy food on the back end. I just think it shouldn't be extravagant food of any sort. But, you know, the legality question, right? Is it un-American to tell people what they can't eat? Well, no, not when America's buying it.
Right.
You're not. This is not the government saying you can't eat the food. This is the government saying we are not going to pay for you to eat the food. But there's a big slice of this that is, it's been well reported, but it is an interesting fact. This change in SNAP benefit usage is going to cost retailers, they figure on average, $1.6 billion. They make a lot of money off of SNAP purchasing candy, soda,
wow,
unhealthy food. Now, what I think is, well, you got to spend SNAP money somehow. Aren't they going to spend it on other food? Just not this. So I'm not sure how they lose money. But the National Grocers Association was sort of very much against this because a lot of their business model, of course, there's a high profit margin in some of this stuff. A lot of their business model is built on getting that money for those things. And it is going to change a lot of the grocery stores, especially those that cater to the less well off.
I'm Paul Stevens. New York City now has a Democratic Socialist mayor.
I stand before you, moved by the privilege of taking this sacred oath, humbled by the faith that you have placed in me.
34-year-old Zohran Mamdani inaugurated on Thursday. He becomes New York's first ever Muslim mayor. A deadly New Year's Eve fire taking place at a bar in Switzerland.
Officials say it's still too early to determine the cause of this fire and the blast. The community, of course, is in the heart of the Swiss Alps, just 25 miles north of the Matterhorn. 10 helicopters and 40 ambulances rushed to the scene after police say a blast and then fire broke out at Le Consolation Bar in Kranz, Montana. Authorities ruled out an attack.
And that's Fox's Stephanie Bennett. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 51 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. An Escambia County postal worker is behind bars after authorities say he intentionally tried to run over a 10-year-old child. William White Jr. dropped off a package at the wrong address December 27th when the child tried to deliver it to the correct home on his scooter. The troopers say White thought the boy was stealing the package and drove his postal truck at him. That child was hurt and taken to Studer Children's Hospital. 3 days later, after investigators talked to witnesses, White was arrested and he's now out on bond and facing court on January 23rd. Well, the investigation continues as to why money was blowing in the wind outside that Wells Fargo Bank on Fairfield Drive.
I look to my left and there's gusts of wind that are just blowing clumps of the money across the parking lot.
According to Rodney A. and other witnesses, thousands of dollars spilled from the Briggs truck parked near the bank.
I didn't want to see it blow away. It was literally just blowing like into the abyss.
Over a dozen onlookers helped gathering up the cash.
Made me feel good about the human spirit that everybody was contributing to helping out. I was surprised. There were people on bicycles, there was children, and there was all with the spirit of helping the guy out.
Well, the exact amount that fell still remains unknown as that investigation is still ongoing. Escambia County Commissioners approved a $1,500 donation to the Leah Gibson Foundation to help families during the holidays. But after the event, the Leah Gibson Foundation asked Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler for a donation of $1,500 for the food and supplies.
So more than likely, I think we're going to have to ask the Attorney General for an opinion. I do think that we need to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars. But at the same time, I also think, what kind of community is it if we can't help our most underprivileged citizens that live among us?
It seems the county clerk is refusing to issue the payment. Clerk Pam Childers questions whether it qualifies as a public purpose.
Looking at this in a different way, taxpayers do not pay taxes for the county to make donations to private organizations of their choosing to enhance the mission of that organization.
Well, Commissioner Chair Ashley Hoffberger says the vote should matter. The disagreement has sparked debate over who has final say, the elected commissioners or the clerk. The county leaders may turn to the Attorney General for guidance on that issue. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3 to see what the weekend is going to be like.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today with temperatures around 70 degrees for your high, mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Saturday, 70% chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high near 72 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48 degrees. As you head into Sunday, we will have the sunshine returning, high near 64, and Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson. from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, it is 51 degrees in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, and a chilly 43 in Milton at 534. Next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informal, informative, local, and dependable.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and, for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
Calling all nonprofits. If you serve Escambia or Santa Rosa County and could benefit from a grant of $100,000, Impact 100 invites you to a Link and Learn workshop on January 27. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, and we've awarded over $18 million to organizations right here. To register for this free workshop and learn more about grants, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org. That's Impact100Pensacola.org.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 5:36 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday to you. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk with our friend Mike Wood, Public Information Officer from the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I appreciate that.
You're my first person I'm talking to. I could talk to John, I guess, and Steve and the audience. So you're not the first person I talked to today. So anyway, Happy New Year. Questions I have for you. No real incidents in the last week, right? No big, like, newsworthy incidents?
No. Now that I think about it, we had an incident yesterday where a man was found deceased off of DeVille Street. He was in an area where a dumpster is stored, so it looks to us like he may have gone into that cubby in order to escape wind from the night before. He was found deceased the next day, so we didn't see any signs of trauma that were obvious. So we don't know if it was a health-related issue, if it was the cold, or what's going on with that. But besides that, it's been an uneventful week.
Man, now that's sad, of course, and it's terrible. But okay, I appreciate that. Anything last night? The fireworks, you know, downtown. I always wonder. I know in the city it's illegal to shoot off fireworks because the city has its ordinance, even though the state has made it so that it's legal to do fireworks on July 4th, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day today as well, but not in the city of Pensacola. I assume you still get a lot of calls. I don't know. What do you guys do?
Yeah, it's still if it flies or goes bang, it's still not legal in the city, and we answer those calls. Each and every call that we get, we're going to respond to on busy nights like New Year's and the 4th of July. It may take us a while to get to that complaint, but we will respond to all of them. If we see that going on, then we confiscate the fireworks, we issue a warning, and we leave. So just the normal calls last night. Nothing big to announce, which is a great thing. It was a nice event last night downtown, and everything went off without a hitch.
Any gunfire from last night? I mean, I'm always concerned about that because, you know, people do dumb things, right? They don't know the law and they do dumb things, and then that's always at risk to people. But nothing like that?
Yeah, nothing that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, fantastic. I was thinking about this the other day with football games yesterday, some, and then all three today. This may seem like a crazy question, but do you guys prep for extra response concerns around sporting events that are not here, but just people here care a lot about? I mean, obviously you're an Alabama fan, got the Alabama game today, you know, lots of other big games today. But is that something that affects your scheduling and your planning?
Not really. You know, sometimes on Super Bowl Sunday and days like today, sometimes we'll see some disturbances related to that when you mix alcohol in with a bunch of guys cheering for a team and things go wrong. Sometimes the disturbances happen. We have them in places in bars and restaurants and unfortunately domestically. But it's not something that we can just plan for. It's something that we respond to.
Very good. A question that I had, it's not a city case, but I know you're aware of the bank where the money came out of the armored car or the teller or some of these details are a little bit sketchy to me. But there was money flying around on the street near the Wells Fargo a couple of days ago, and people collected it and returned it. And I thought that there was a law that required you to return it, but I don't know the shape of the law or if that's even correct. So if there is money out on the ground that is reasonably from a bank truck, is that illegal to take it? Am I breaking the law if I take it?
Yeah, it's not yours. And you know it's not yours. So it would be illegal if you picked that up and took it. So a lot of people, fortunately, from what I saw in media reports, did the right thing. A lot of people showed up and collected those bills and gave it back, which is the right thing to do. There's still a lot of good people left in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love the story, and I'm glad that so many people did all the right thing and then sort of, you know, collective consciousness kept other people doing the right thing. But then it's sort of at the other end of the spectrum, because, you know, John Pickens has got a very sour face right now because he was hoping to get a bunch of free money from, you know, something. If you find a 20 on the ground randomly walking around, it is okay to pick that up and keep it, right?
Yeah, that's different. And not too long ago, we had an individual find a large amount of money downtown. She did the right thing. She turned it in. Nobody came to say it was theirs. It didn't happen. And 30 days later, we gave it back to her. She did the right thing, and she ended up with the money. So it's different if you just find something. But if you know in a case like what happened at the bank, you know that it came out of that armored truck. You know it's not yours, and it would be illegal to take that.
So is the line reasonable belief that it belongs to an identifiable person? Is that because again, like the bag of money, it sounds like, I mean, that's obviously the good thing to do. Would it have been illegal for her to keep it? That's what I want to understand where the line is or where you start to think about prosecuting versus not prosecuting.
Yeah, you have to reasonably know. I mean, we can say that this money did not belong to you. It belonged to someone else, and you can identify them right off the bat. If you cannot, then that's when you still should turn that in. And then after 30 days, if nobody claims it, then we will turn that back over to you.
Got it. Very good. Then I think that's a question that everybody has watching this story is, well, you know, 500 for you, 100 for me. You know, is that a crime?
Right.
Yes, that's a crime. But it's not specific to being a bank or an armored car. It's specific to being able to identify. It's like, I mean, if some woman just comes out of the bank and then she trips because her heel breaks and she spills her $1,000 all over the ground and you rush in to take some, well, that's just theft, right?
Yes, that's theft. Yeah. Absolutely.
John still looks so discouraged about this. He was hoping that the law was
different.
Definitely
my apologies. My apologies, but I don't make the laws.
Not trying to ruin it for you. Obviously, here in a couple of days, Palafox is going to close. In fact, tomorrow we've got the furniture is supposed to come off of the right-of-way, so tables and chairs are supposed to be removed. When I drove by there, I drove down Palafox yesterday and shot a video just to remember what it looked like now versus in 6 months. But, you know, I saw a lot of them already had it basically packed up. They got to clear a 6-foot space for people to walk because, of course, the sidewalks are going to remain open. Then on, Monday is when they're going to start actually closing at 6 a.m., so you want cars off by, Sunday at 8, something like that? Is that right? Or are they going to get towed?
Yes, they will. They will eventually get towed. I don't know exactly what time it is, but it's posted. And the best thing to do is just not park on Palafox because the construction is going to get underway. And we hate to tow cars, but that's what's going to happen if you leave a vehicle there.
What are you guys doing to prepare for this at PPD? Anything particular?
No, we're just going to assist when we need to with traffic. And once things get in place, the barriers get in place, it's pretty much going to run itself. We do encourage people to go downtown and to continue to do business down there. And we're all going to get through this together. The end result is going to be something we can all be proud of.
Are you have you scheduled more foot and or bike police for Palafox? Because obviously now you won't be able to drive it and you won't be able to cross it in a vehicle either, which I I have to imagine that that, I mean, maybe crossing Palo Fox isn't the primary route for response time for police because Maine or Cervantes would be so, or Garden would be so much better. But is it going to affect you guys logistically at all?
No, we already have officers down there on foot and on bicycles anyway, so it's not going to affect us at all.
Okay, you don't rely on cars primarily on Palo Fox to begin with, so this is not a big deal. Okay, that, I mean, which makes perfect sense. Very good. You know, obviously, you guys have a police chief selection coming up. You know, they're going to be doing these interviews. What's the sentiment among the police officers? Are they, you know, Christian Brown's going to be retiring, but when there's change and change, you know, can be nervous and anxiety producing. What's your sense of the department as you're going through this transition?
Well, the department is backing Captain Goss and or interim chief or assistant chief Goss, and they would like to see somebody be promoted from within. I mean, when you're a brand new police officer, a lot of them dream of becoming chief of police one day, and this just goes to show if you do what you're supposed to do and you do it very well, you could achieve that goal. And but we understand other folks are going to be looked at, and it's fine, and we're going to be able to talk to those individuals as well. But the overall feeling for the Pensacola Police Department and the officers that work there is we would like to see a chief boss.
I hate to tell you this because you wouldn't have known this, but your phone was super breaking up on me just there. We were able to hear it is why I let you keep talking, but it was like every other half second it was in and out. So I don't know if you're going to be able to answer the last question that I have for you, but we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week? I know, you know, I think both of us sort of forgot we were on a Thursday today, but do you have one for this week? If not, I have one.
I hope you do, because I got to be honest with you, I forgot what day it was.
That's perfect. Okay, so I'm always fascinated by movies and TV depictions of things, and I know that, you know, 98.3, that's science, percent of the depictions of police or radio or education or nursing, they're always false, okay? It's all false. But the picture we have of a stakeout is two guys, typically guys, but two police officers in a car, eating junk food all night long, watching for the bad guy from a half a block away. Is that picture even remotely accurate?
Maybe. It depends on what the person is wanted for, why they're there. A lot of times, though, it'll be done with a single officer in a vehicle. But if it's something that could go down right now and it can be a dangerous situation, then two officers in the car would be something that we would do.
And do they quote movies back and forth to each other to pass the time? Because it's a long time they got to sit there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation that goes on, and a lot of it is quite colorful. But we have to entertain ourselves, and yeah, it's I don't want to get into all that, but we do have to stay awake, Andrew.
Honestly, I have known you for so long, that might be the most understatement you have ever engaged in with me. they have conversations, and sometimes it's colorful.
Yep.
The cops I know,
yes.
that nobody can say that's false, but let's just say that's under describing the reality of the thing.
That is a highly trained response.
Oh, Mike, happy new year. Thank you as always for the time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'm gonna do something that you are not gonna believe I'm gonna do. But this shows how much I love you as a person.
You're gonna cheer for Alabama.
I am literally gonna say this on the radio, just for you. Roll Tide.
Oh my.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Now,
I'm gonna play.
Yeah. It's gonna be the ringtone for me.
I don't know what to say.
Hey,
yes,
you know, I will not say it during the game. I would not otherwise say it, but that is literally purely a product of how much I care about you, that at this one little moment in time, I care about you more than I care about my hatred for Alabama. Okay, so see?
And it is greatly appreciated, sir.
Mike Wood, we'll talk to you next week, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
That's especially now that Alabama just got demolished in the game.
Right.
I mean, he owes me a big Christmas. That's my Christmas gift to Mike. And sort of weirdly to every Alabama fan in the audience, So now he owes me a big Christmas gift next year. Oh, you know, that whole business about what cops say in the cars while they're on the stakeout, which, again, a lot of times it's just a single person. It's not necessarily two people or whatever.
Right.
That gave me an idea for something that will never, ever happen.
What? What is that?
Riding or sitting in cars with cops as a podcast.
But that would be such a good
God, it would be. But the problem is you would never get the actual conversation because there's no way that anybody in law enforcement's ever going to let you record the actual conversations. Just like the military, just like the newsroom, just like because we all say things that.
Go ahead. Yes.
Well, let's just say you would alter your presentation. If
colorful.
You knew it was being recorded.
Ah, gotcha.
For 100 different reasons. And so I would not want to take that away from them. But that would be, it would be fascinating if they could actually make it happen.
Oh, I know.
Because those, trust me from talking, you know, all my cop friends, the off the record conversations that happen between a couple of cops when they're just, you know, playing Mystery Science Theater with some perpetrator.
Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, my God. You know that'd be entertaining. But it's never going to happen. 550, it'd be so inappropriate, I'm sure. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why not?
Why not? Why not? Don't you even know who my father is?
Ugh, you are a snob and a half.
I like that as a burn, too. Ugh, you are a snob and a half. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Steve Taylor is in for David Wayne all this week. By the way, Steve,
yes.
You have been doing a great job all week. Thank you for filling in. You're always available whenever somebody goes on vacation. I always appreciate that. And gives me a chance to reacquaint myself with your amazing voice, which everybody recognizes.
Uh-oh.
And your... And you're how many years of doing radio news now?
Well, I started in 1969,
yeah. So
it's basically 56 years.
For people who do not know, Steve covered the moon landing.
Yes, Apollo 15, I got to do that one.
See, I knew John didn't know that. John is like, what?
I had no clue.
I got to know most of the Apollo astronauts, especially Gene Cernan and... some of the other guys from the shuttle days, the early 10 years of the shuttle, because I was at Orlando Radio back in those days. For any event, I went to the Cape. Any event.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Steve is genuinely a news legend. I mean, he covered the moon landing and interviewed the astronauts and is here with us today to tell us the news in Pensacola. I mean, so I just, you sometimes wonder, like, where do people come from in their careers? I'm telling you, Steve has done it. He has, you know, done it, doesn't have to prove it. He's got all the awards to prove it.
So now I got to send you $20 for that.
Thanks a lot.
I told you my rate was 30, son. So what's going on locally, sir?
Well, actually, this is more worldwide. President Trump says the U.S. is going to intervene if Iran kills peaceful protesters during the current economic unrest there. People have not been paying attention to that. But yes, there is kind of a huge protest going on in Iran. Trump posted on Truth Social early this morning saying the U.S. is, quote, locked and loaded and ready to go if peaceful protesters die and will come to their rescue.
You know, well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
In America, we take the right to protest so much for granted.
Right.
And that you can just go out and call your elected officials any name you want, say anything you want, make fun of them, do whatever. Well, in a lot of the world and throughout history, that is not true. And it still is not true in a lot of places. And Iran, it's not like Iran has very permissive public demonstration laws.
No. They're,
these are people who are standing up for their rights and their interests and demonstrating basically illegally, risking their life, their family's life, imprisonment, torture, killing, all of that in the interest of having a better country. I have tremendous admiration for people who protest in those kind of circumstances because, man, it's rough. Anyway, go ahead.
The penalty for protesting there is a lot.
Yes.
And the amount of people who have been protesting, it's amazing. I mean, think back in history, Tiananmen Square.
Right.
Things like that, where people came up and said, I had enough, even though the penalty for what they're doing could be being shot.
Right. Or, think about under Mubarak in Egypt. Think about under Saddam in Iraq. Think about all these places and, you know, and here, that's why the kind of the no kings, authoritarian dictator kind of protest. I'm like, oh, which one of you got tortured to death by our so-called, you know, tyrant, right? I mean, when it gets to be real, then, you know, we'll talk about that. So anyway, go ahead, Steve.
Well, and more happy news, a World War II veteran from San Antonio is going to remember his 101st birthday for as long as he lives. You see, he turned 101 on Tuesday. He celebrated with a flight on a restored World War II airplane. See, he trained as an Army pilot and flew out of Randolph Field. A nonprofit called Dream Flights took him aloft for his birthday, and that's what they do to thank the people for their service.
All right, very good.
Happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I can't remember, John, you and I maybe don't talk. We talk about food a lot. I don't know if we talk about alcohol a whole lot. So are you a beer drinker much?
No.
At all? Not at all? No. Any kind of alcohol?
Not really.
Anything? Okay. So this story probably won't mean anything to you, but I did find out about this the other day. Apparently it's not brand new, but it's sort of new-ish enough that Sam Adams, which, you know, of course, American beer manufacturer, and you know they make a lot of very good beer, and they've gotten into the IPA game lately, and some of their IPAs are actually quite good. But they make a beer now, and it is a beer. What's a typical percentage alcohol percentage in beer?
I think it was like what, 5%?
Yeah, that's right, about 5%. You know, near beer used to be under 3. You know, Canadian beer, whatever. But 5% is a typical. A double, like a Imperial IPA or something like that, is going to be, you know, upwards almost 10. 8 to 9, you know, percent. So proof wise, 16 to 18 proof. You know, when you think about liquors, like more like 60 to 80 proof. If it's hard liquor, if it's liqueurs, they run more like, you know, 20% alcohol, 40 proof, something like that. So they've got a beer that is 30% alcohol by volume, 60 proof beer.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's illegal in several states.
Probably.
Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, Utah, Vermont, and West Virginia.
I can see a Smokey and the Bandit.
like a running, yeah. Like
yes, a running to go get it.
Bootlegging.
Yep.
I love that. It's non-carbonated, black, and it's, I mean, they sell it. It's like $200 a bottle. And it comes in this super amazing flavors of caramel, oak, dried fruit, subtle smoke and citrus and all that. And so it's comparable to an upper-end bar liqueur or even just liquor. And I actually asked locally about it. I was at Rich's the other day, and I asked them about it. And they're like, you know, we can get it, but I don't think we've ever stocked it. And I'm not paying $200 for it anyway. Just I'm dreaming. I love the Bourbon County. You know, I've told you about this a couple of times, the, you know, fantastic bourbon barrel that Goose Island puts out that comes out only on the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. Bourbon County is super strong, and it's 14%. So this is twice as strong as that.
You need some moonshine in your life.
No, I don't. flavor. I'm not into it for the alcohol. I'm into it for the flavor. I love the flavor.
Right. There's great flavors in moonshine.
Well, it
like
just,
apple pie, sweet tea.
Okay.
Cherry. I mean, I'll try anything. Punch.
I've tried some terrible, amazing alcohols in my life. I'll try any of it. 4-3-7 But yeah, I don't particularly like the effect of alcohol. I just seem to like the flavor of it a lot.
You're probably one of those that table dance after you get some alcohol in you.
Well, you'll never know.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, I can picture.
At this age, it doesn't make me crazy. It just makes me tired. I've had three beers. Time to take a nap.
Yep.
All right. 4-3-7-16-20 No, I don't have time for that. Oh, I will say this. We have the Transgressive Memorial Services coming up. The early service, the 6:20 service, where it's satire. I pretend to be a woke, progressive pastor, telling you about which things got canceled this last week and why. We will be talking about the Battle of the Sexes, the tennis match, and the AKC, the American Kennel Club, which has designated three new breeds, and, of course, Kim Kardashian. So listen to Pastor Andrew explain why these things all get canceled coming up in about 20 minutes. You can listen to him on the podcast page as well, newsradio923.com.
Local news every hour.